Hi, I'm Beth Massey, and I'm here back with Spotty Bowles, a tester on the Visual Basic compiler team. Did I remember that correctly?
That's correct. All
right. Spotty, tell us a little bit about yourself for those folks who haven't seen you before.
I'm a tester on the Visual Basic compiler team. I've been at Microsoft for nearly 5 years now, and I've worked through three product cycles now.
Nice. So how did you get to Microsoft in the first place?
I've been using Visual Basic since version 1.
Wow.
And eventually, through a company that I work for, did some work at the Microsoft Technology Center. Liked it so much, I applied for a job at Microsoft and got hired onto the compiler team.
Nice. That's got to be kind of like a dream come true, then, huh?
Yeah.
Cool. So, what are we going to talk about today?
We're going to talk a little bit about multi-targeting.
Okay.
It's a feature that was added in AUKUS, but has been further enhanced in
Visual Studio 2008.
2008.
Right.
Got to remember the numbers.
Right.
But has been enhanced a little bit more in the 2010 version. And there's a few little items in there that are different or slightly different from the 2008 version that might catch people out if they're not aware of them.
Okay, so in 2010, what frameworks do we support?
If you just install 2010, and you probably won't find the multi-targeting enabled straight off out the box.
Okay.
And sometimes that might worry people if they knew that multi-targeting was there and they're not seeing it.
Okay.
And to enable the multi-targeting scenarios, you need to install the 3.5 SP1.
Okay.
And because the 2010 didn't install 3.5 out the box.
Okay.
So that was something. If you've already got a 2008 version of the product on your machine,
mm-hmm.
then it's probably pretty likely that you've got the SP1 installed on there. So when you'd install 2010, you would actually see the multi-targeting straight away. So that's one of the first things that you might notice if you're expecting multi-targeting and it's on a clean machine and you put 2010 on there.
So they didn't give you the other frameworks just to cut down the size of their initial install? Is that what it was?
It pretty well,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's, you know, we were trying to obviously 2010, the default is targeting the 4.0 framework,
right.
So that's the one that's in the box. The earlier versions of the framework, yeah, if you've got them on your machine, we'll support them. If you don't, then you can install them, and then it just enables those scenarios. They're known as light-up scenarios, so that if you've got them, they'll be enabled in the drop-downs and enable you to target them.
Okay, cool. So targeting in 2008 went back to 2.0.
To 2.0.
Okay.
And, you know, up until that point there, if you look at 2005, 2003, if you wanted to target the earlier framework, you really had to install the earlier version of the product. So
right.
You'd have lots of side-by-side versions of the product, and depending on which one you'd want to use, you'd have to go back to that, and then the IDE experience was different.
Right.
Because, you know, as we...
A different version of the product, right.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, different version of the product, different features were supported in there, so it would be generally not a good experience. You know,
you'd have to switch products back and forth to get to target a different framework.
Yep.
Okay.
And, you know, in 2008, we thought, okay, we wanted to present a consistent user experience and enable them to target frameworks and earlier ones. And that was actually quite the scenario itself, because 3.0 framework and 3.5 framework were all built on the 2.0 CLR.
Yeah.
So it became sort of adding some different assemblies in there and things like that, but it was, you know, generally we're targeting one version of the CLR, and that was why the 1.1 framework wasn't supported in the 2008 products for multi-targeting, because it's a different version of the CLR and things like that. So
now it gets kind of complicated, right?
Correct.
New version of the CLR.
New version of the CLR.
Okay.
So with the new version of the CLR, it meant that the way we'd implemented the multi-targeting in 2008 really wasn't easily brought forward with two versions of the CLR and things like that. So
okay.
We actually had to make a few changes in there. But there were some changes with that 3.5 SP1 that had been implemented that you might not even be aware of, just because there were some things behind the scenes. And we introduced client frameworks.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of people develop small applications, but they had to deploy the full framework for the application to work.
Right.
Which means that you've got a huge footprint on your deployment
that users have to install.
Yep.
Yeah.
And sure, they only have to install it once, but if your application happens to be the first application they're installing,
right,
everyone thinks you've got this, like, 20, 30 megabyte download that, you know, why is your application so big? Because it's only, you know, one screen type thing.
Right.
So in 3.5 SP1, we introduced the client frameworks, which were a real cut-down version of the framework, which provided just a basic functionality that most applications need. So they cut out a lot of
like ASP.NET isn't in there. Server stuff.
Server stuff, basically. Uh-huh. And there's a lot of other class libraries which, if you're really into those and using those, yeah, you can deploy the full framework. But for the vast majority of simple Windows applications and things like that, really didn't need them.
I know it supports like Windows, WPF, Office, like
yep,
the typical client applications, right?
Yep.
That's what it's meant for.
Yep.
So we have that in 3.5 SP1, and we also have one in 4.
We have another one in 4.0, so there's a 4.0 client and a 4.0 full framework install.
Right.
So now we've got...
So we've got like five targets really now.
At least five targets,
right,
in there. So,
okay.
And again, this is something that really from the value to the end user is that when we deploy these have a much smaller footprint for deployment. So mm-hmm, you're not talking about 20 meg downloads and things like that. You're talking, you know, 2 or 3 meg type thing, much smaller.
Okay.
So, you know, that comes down to a benefit when you're actually having to push out these updates, or, you know, if you're doing click once deployments and you want to make sure that framework is installed. If it's not already there, you know, you can target these reduced frameworks.
Well, I noticed that the full framework, 3.5 framework, was fairly big.
Yep.
And the client profile was about 20 meg, which was like a lot less than,
yep,
you know, it was before. Maybe it was 30, I couldn't remember.
It
was still pretty big. But I noticed that in 4.0, not only is the client profile smaller, but so is the full framework is a,
yep,
lot smaller too. So they got the size back down to where it was almost like 2.0.
Yeah, and it's really trying to get those framework sizes down for most applications. If you need to use full functionality, you know,
yeah,
you know, you're doing server applications and things like that, sure, you can target the full framework. So some of the issues with that relate to the default options when you're creating different project types. They may have changed and you're not necessarily immediately aware of them. So this was,
okay,
where behind the scenes there's some things going on that we'll talk about, and a couple of gotchas.
Okay, let's dig in then.
So, you know, the obvious thing is when we're creating a new project, you're going to see this target framework up here. And these ones, because we've got the 3.5 SP1 installed on this machine,
mm-hmm,
we have all of them enabled.
Okay.
If we didn't have that, you wouldn't see 3.5, 2.0 and 3.
Okay. You
just
enabled.
Get 4. Yep. But you'd have this more frameworks there, which if you click that, it takes you to the download for the 3.5 SP1.
Okay.
But you'll notice at this point here, there's nothing that relates to client, nothing that relates to full frameworks and things like that. It's just telling you which framework it is.
Okay.
Now, depending on the type of application you actually select, they will have different profiles that we'll use.
Okay.
So the example being that most Windows forms and console apps, as an example, would be targeting the client framework.
Mm-hmm.
They're not doing anything server-based. And we'll bring up one here. And to find out what you're actually targeting, if you come into the Project Properties Compile tab and the Advanced Compile Options, you'll see that now we've got this target profile down here.
Okay.
So
by default it went client profile.
For the you know, the Windows
console
app, WinForms apps. Now that's fine. But as an example, if I create a class library in here, let me add a new project in here. And I'm going to add a class library in here. the class library by default should be a full framework.
Okay.
And look in here.
Okay, right.
We've got full framework in there.
Okay.
So what's going to happen here is that if I use that in there, as long as I don't use any of the full framework functionality, so if, you know, if I'm not referring to system web or any of the you know, more enterprise server classes and things like that, then when I deploy my application, it will deploy and run successfully on a client framework.
Okay. Even if you haven't specifically set it to
even if I haven't specifically set it, because the class library is going to be brought in process with the
running apps.
With the running app. So everything's going to work just fine.
Okay.
That's if you haven't used the any functionality that's full framework in the class library.
What if you have?
Ah, that's the second gotcha.
Right.
So in here I've got an app that I've created,
mm-hmm.
and it's using this class library, Mad Dog Objects, and that's just simple class library that I've compiled up and added into my application.
Okay.
Now, when I try and run this, I get these weird errors, like saying the type's not defined.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know that these types, Mad Dog Objects run and query, they do exist. I've used them in all my other applications. I used them when I was doing 3.5. But if I go into the object browser and for that Mad Dog Objects,
mm-hmm.
and look at the run, it sees it. So this is fine. You know, like I'm thinking, and this is something that we'd experienced here when we first started playing around with the feature. And you're seeing it's public, so it's like, well, why aren't I seeing it?
Okay.
And one of the things that's going on here is that the Mad Dog Objects DLL is using full framework functionality. And like most developers, warnings, we really don't normally look at them. otherwise you get the error window or the error list window full of warnings,
right.
And things like that. So we normally just hide those up there. But that's the key point here. Like if I open that up,
it gives you more information about what it is.
It's going to give you some information in here. But the thing in here is it's referring to the client profile in here. So
okay.
Let's open that message up. And basically it's telling you that there's something being used in there that's causing the problem.
Gotcha.
So with that point there, once I knew that, and I can go through, change my application to full framework.
Mm-hmm.
Retargeting is going to cause the project to save and reload.
Okay. And now you're gone.
And now all my errors are gone.
Okay.
So that one's just a little sort of gotcha that if you don't, you can spend a lot of time and you go into object browser and you're searching for it and you think, why is this not working? And
okay.
It's one where having the warnings on and looking at that might provide you a clue if you've got types that aren't.
Okay, so you are warned and errors will happen here at development time.
Yep.
It can't happen at runtime.
Not at runtime.
Let you build it.
No.
Okay.
It's the only time you might encounter something at runtime is if you're using like late binding on one of those framework classes,
okay.
and things like that, which you know you're not going to catch design time because it's
late
bound. But
what kind of error do you get at runtime then if you're going to late binding? You're going to get some kind of like unknown class thing?
Yeah, you'll get a similar thing where it won't find the type because the type doesn't, you know, it's trying to use a type in the full framework and the full framework doesn't, or the client framework doesn't contain that class, so it's just something like that. But it can cause some problems, but if you're targeting the client and you know that, as an example, it's just one specific DLL or class library that you're using, you can actually just add that one in there. So, you know, like you can do a client deployed framework, add the additional framework library that you know that have been used and add that in there.
Okay.
Albeit, if that's got dependencies and things like that, you'd need to add all of those.
You're talking about copying them local?
Yeah. Then?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So that's a possibility.
Then you have a servicing issue too, right?
Exactly. So it's really, if you're going to use those ones to deploy the full framework, you still have the same issue that you had before, that you've still got a big footprint. But if you can isolate it down to, as an example, you might only be calling one function in one library, that you know, there's a pretty small library in there. You don't want to deploy everything, but you can add that locally into your app and deploy that, and it will work. It's probably not the most recommended of things, just from the servicing point of view.
What about if in your case, Mad Dog Objects itself has methods as using the full framework, but what if you were not using those methods in Mad Dog Objects? You were calling something else that wasn't relied on the full framework. Would that be allowed then?
That will be allowed.
Okay, so it only gave you the warnings in this case because those methods were calling into the full framework thing. But if you're using other things inside of your class library that aren't, then you're going to be fine.
Yes,
right?
because what will happen is that when
it doesn't look like it's a whole class library. It just looks at the things you're using. It. Okay.
So if that's correct, because when we optimize things out, it's like we're not using that type, so we're not going to emit that into the IL.
Cool, very cool.
So
very cool.
That's all good. So the default types on them, like if you create, as an example, a web project in there, the default type would be full framework as well, because that's using the system web libraries and things like that. So they're really server-based applications, so they're not going to be defaulting to the client framework, and you probably shouldn't change them to the client framework and work on that one. So that's something in there. Now, one of the problems with the original approach, where we were talking about having multiple side-by-side versions in order to target different versions of the framework, was that some of the new cooler features that came out in the later one, well, you couldn't use them in the earlier version. You know, the example being, if you think of one of the cool features that's come out in 2010, implicit line continuation, so you don't have to type those underscores, collection initializers and things like that. If you had to use the older version, not 2008, to target, you know, 3.5 and down, then you couldn't use those features, which, you know, maybe not a great problem. But now, because we're using 2010 and we can down target to those, a lot of the new features that we add you can use for down targeting, because ultimately, under the covers, the IL we're emitting, we can emit IL that is compatible with the 2.0 CLR and stuff like that. So what that actually means is that, you know, if I wanted to, you know, create implicit line continuation, if I tried that simple line in 2008, it would give me an error.
Right.
Now it is, and that was a... we are going to just down target this, because that one is a 4.0 target. And I'm going to swap that down and say, hey, create a 2.0 target.
Save the whole project, I guess. Not just save the file.
Save all. Yeah,
there you go.
And let's just change that.
Okay, so now it reloads. Okay.
Now it's going to reload. Okay. That one should have gone to 3.5, but... This brings up another one. Because the default on 4.0, it's got some other references in there, like system.core, but 2.0 doesn't contain a system.core.
So you can pull them out of your references.
I can pull them out of my references. They're warnings rather than errors, because I'm not using any of the functionality that's contained within system core. But system core contains some stuff that enables extension methods and things like that, because the attributes are contained in there.
If you open up your module, you're not getting an error on the
list. No, you're not getting an error. And it will compile and run because I'm not using any of those functionality. But that just brings one to do with these ones here, link.
Right.
If I'm not using them, then I'll just remove them off. Probably project level imports, because as I create the initial 401, which again they're warnings, but if you wanted to change to project level imports, it's
references.
Yeah, that's one. So we've got link in there, so I can turn these ones off that are link specific. But if I would have changed it to 3.5 targets. 3.5 does contain link, does contain system.core, so you wouldn't have generated references.
And open up the module again, just so we know that VB isn't complaining, right?
VB is not complaining.
You so your implicit line continuation.
Implicit line continuation
is working no matter what target.
Yep. This is.
Now you write a link statement in here though. Not going to happen.
It's not going to happen,
yeah, right,
because link is dependent on system call functionality, and system link references and things like that. So that wouldn't work. But if you were a targeted 3.5, that would work quite happily. So if you're
looking,
pretty cool. You know, and that's, you know, some of the other, you're looking at utilizing the Dev10 features. So that's you know.
Okay, so you can do automatic properties.
So automatic properties, collection initializers. There's a couple of things that you can't do when you're down targeting. And an example might be the dynamic. You can't use dynamic interop.
Okay.
Basically, because it wasn't a dynamic dynamic feature prior to 4.0. So if you try and use anything that's interoping with Python or Ruby.
Python or
Ruby.
That's like DLR specific.
Yeah,
stuff.
That's just not going to happen.
Right.
So, and it will give you errors up and show you that. So,
and if you're using C sharp, then dynamic keyword, that won't work at all.
That won't work either on the down target.
That
so,
okay.
It's basically because that functionality wasn't there previously. So, if you're trying to do a down target and utilize that.
So the compiler gives you errors and warnings depending on, you know, what it is, right?
So that the 2010 features, two features that definitely aren't supported are the dynamic interop, the Nopia.
Okay.
The embedded device, that's not working there.
Okay.
And there's one feature that will partially work, which is the co and contra variance.
Partially work. Okay.
It will partially work because it's using interfaces and things that were. When I say partially work, if you're using the interfaces that are defined by the framework, they don't support the in and out parameters because we didn't change those when we create the 4.0 framework. We didn't change the 3.5 ones in this cycle, so you're still limited to that being invariant. But if you were using the targeting the 4.0 framework, then they are co and contra variant. So it's one where if you've got your own interfaces,
it will work.
You can use in and out keyword for down targeting, and that will work. So it's one where it partially works in terms of it will work with user classes. But if you're trying to use interfaces on the framework classes that are down targeted, those ones weren't changed. So that's another one where that won't work. But
you need the 4.0 CLR to get those types.
And the 4.0 CLR had updated those types so that they became co and contra variant. So that the other things, you know, any of the other VB compiler or VB language features in 4.0 should all work back on the down target. So that basically means that now you can install, you can get rid of the earlier version, 2008, 2005, use 2010, and load those projects in and down target them. But
Very cool. So, and you have an article coming out that explains all of this in gory detail, on MSDN Magazine next month.
I do.
In June.
So you should subscribe to that magazine.
Yeah. Depending on how long we take it this out the door, but we'll link to that for sure. Yeah, that's
sure.
A good article that you wrote up.
So one of the other things on here, this is showing stuff going on within the IDE, but not everyone obviously compiles using the IDE. Sometimes people are using batch files, scripting stuff and things like that. So, you know, to actually down target on the from the command line, there's a couple of other things that you need to be aware of. And one of them is that all of these down targets are using the 4.0 compiler. So even though I'm down targeting to 3.5 or to 2.0, ultimately they're using the 4.0 compiler to do that. So, you know, when we compile up a simple console app and you module 1, sub main, console write line, foo type thing, and we just say VBC, you know, test.vb, and it will compile. We're not actually having to specify a number of the references that really are being used. Things like the Microsoft.visualbasic.dll is a reference that we're adding in there, system.dll being added in there, MS4lib, things like that.
Okay.
So there are references that do get added at the command line that you don't actually specify on the command line. And where those come from is a file in the framework's folder called bbc.rsp.
Okay.
And if we have a look at that quickly, you'll see that it contains a lot of references in here that are the DLLs that will be added. And really what's going on is that these references, these import statements, these options are being added to your command line. So even though you haven't specified, you know, I want to access, as an example, the system.dll, it's actually added to the project so that that functionality is in there. So in here you're seeing that system.dll is in there. There's still a couple that aren't in here, like MSCoreLib, and on the case of VB, Microsoft.visualbasic isn't, because they're added for everything.
I see.
Everything that's VB adds those implicitly without you having to specify it, without it being specified in the VB resp. But in this case here, these ones are going to be added. If you don't use any calls to them when it's optimized out,
It'll
take those references out anyway, so that's the compiler functionality.
Okay.
But something to bear in mind is that although we ship the command line compiler with the client framework, so
great,
it doesn't contain a VBE resp. So if you try that scenario of a simple console app and do that with a client install, it won't work because none of the things like system are there, none of the default imports like the Microsoft Visual Basic are there.
Okay.
So you'd actually have to create your own resp file or specify these references and imports on your command line if you were using a client
profile to compile.
Which is probably
it's kind of a stretch there.
Okay. But with that in mind, obviously if we're looking at here, there's a number of DLLs in here, like system.web.dll, systemweb.mobile, and things like that, which are full framework functionalities.
Okay.
So, if we just specified that command line and compile, it's going to compile up these versions, and these are the versions on the 4.0 framework that we're going to compile in.
Okay.
And you think, well, if I'm down targeting, these aren't the ones that I want to specify, or there's some options and things. Like, as an example, if I was down targeting to 2.0, I don't want to import the link DLLs.
Right.
So one of the things that is important if you're going to do from the command line is you need to turn this functionality off so that it's not going and looking in the VB resp file to pick up these options. You need to say, okay, I want to turn that off, and you use the noconfig command line switch.
Okay.
So that's going to turn this off, which in essence now means that none of these references are going to be added into the compilation.
Okay.
So you'd have to specify the versions that you want on there. Now, because of this, I'm still using the 4.0 compiler, mm-hmm. I need to tell it to use the earlier versions, or the early CLR versions of these functionalities. So I want it to go back and use, hey, I'm going to use 2.0 CLR.
Right.
So what you then specify is a switch called the SDK path.
Okay.
So apart from no config saying don't use these, you want to then use the SDK path and point it to the 2.0 framework directory, which contains a 2.0 version of MS Core Lib.
Okay.
And basically, that will then pick up the 2.0 version of the VBE REST file, which contains the links to all that sort of stuff.
Can you walk through it in the command line for us?
Sure, I can walk one through there. And then, if you're using, as an example, 3.5 functionality, then you'd use the references to the reference assemblies for the 3.5 stuff.
Okay.
So let's create something here and whiz through that quickly. So I'm going to bring up a command window. Code this
there you go.
Using notepad.
Okay,
so let's bring that one up.
You have your cap locks on.
Oop. Not my keyboard. Okay, so simple little program. So I'm going to save that one there, and just drop that into a folder.
I have one called test. You can use it.
Okay, so I've got my...
Okay,
so we're going to do a command line compilation here of that simple app.
That test one.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to basically use the 4.0 compiler. So if you're looking at pointing to the 4.0 framework VBC,
okay.
We're using the no config option, mm-hmm. which means that we're using nothing out of the VBE REST file.
Right.
We have to do a default import of the Microsoft Visual Basic and the system functionality because we're using system.core functionality, system functionality that for the console write line function. And because we're using writing the stuff in Visual Basic, that's why we need the Microsoft.Visual Basic default imports. And they're normally contained within the REST file.
And since you've specified no config, you have to.
We're not pulling that. So.
Okay.
And then what's happening here is that I'm specifying the SDK path
uh-huh.
to point to the 2.0 version,
okay.
which is the framework v20.50727,
okay.
and specifying a reference. Let me just change that. A reference to the version of the system framework or the system DLL in that framework folder. And specify my test.vb command there. And that should compile.
Okay.
And you'll notice that the error the actual messages that it's giving you is it's using the version 2.0 of CoreLib
uh-huh.
and the 2.0 or the 8.50727, which is version 8 of Visual Basic, which was the one that shipped with 2.0.
Okay.
So this now has created a 2.0 targeted version.
Okay.
And, if you come into Ildasm, you can look at the versions in here.
Cool.
Are the 2.0 ones. So this would quite happily deploy on a 2.0 only machine and run exactly the same way.
So that's how you do multi-targeting on the command line.
Okay. Yeah.
Cool.
So it's if you don't specify the no config, then you can get some very strange situations where it's using the 4.0 versions of the DLLs.
Okay.
And even if, as an example, if you were doing a 3.5 targeting one, where you'd add the additional reference assemblies, you could get something where you've got a 4.0, you're using 4.0 versions of the CLR functions with a 3.5 reference library.
Okay.
So that wouldn't work on a 3.5 machine because it's using the 4.0
right.
CLR. So
okay.
There's some things in there. Now, one of the things that is also an interesting point with this multi-targeting is that you, because of runtime compatibility, you can actually, if you've got a down-targeted, let's say, DLL,
mm-hmm.
So it's a 3.5 DLL that you've created, it's pre-packaged up, you can actually add that as a reference to a 4.0 targeted application. And when it gets in, because of runtime compatibility, that's going to work. We've done a lot of tests to make sure that, you know, the 4.0 and the 3.5 are pretty well compatible with each other. So it means that if you're targeting 4.0 ones, you can use earlier DLLs, components, and things like that in 4.0 targeted applications.
Okay.
But what you can't do is do the opposite. So you can't create a 4.0 class library and then do a 3.5 targeted application and use that scenario.
Okay.
That's not going to work because the class library will have references to 4.0 assemblies,
okay.
which if you install on a 3.5 machine, that's not going to work.
Exists.
So,
yeah.
You know, you know, there's a lot of things that trying to make this that going forward, you can use 2010 to write your code for all these down targets,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, there are some scenarios that just aren't supported, and that, you know, the later class libraries down targeting is one of them.
Okay.
So,
and if you're in Visual Studio, there's helpful warnings to let you know what's going on. Just pay attention to them is the key.
Yeah. And normally if something isn't working as you'd expect, like those types on the Mad Dog example,
uh-huh.
normally if you turn the warnings on, you're going to see a warning in there, and there's reasons why that was done that way. Was that if I didn't use the functionality, like if I didn't use that Mad Dog run that depended upon a full framework reference to be there,
mm-hmm.
then it would have worked.
Right.
And if I raise it up as an error that time there, you know, it then you'd start having to fix everything up in order to get it. Whereas having it as a warning, and then obviously the types that are dependent upon that show up as errors,
right.
means that, you know, there are scenarios that you could work with that aren't depending on full framework stuff, so you can target client, and it would just work. The warning would tell you that, you know, if you've
By
got
the way,
time,
there's some things in here that won't be compatible.
But
since you're not
using them, it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
type thing.
Yeah, then you know, right?
Yeah.
But it does show up as an error if you are using them.
Yes.
Right, cool.
Yeah.
Right.
So
well, that makes sense.
So they're just a few of the things that, you know, enable 2010 for the down target scenario, so that you can just install 2010, get rid of the other versions, and still write your applications that are targeting those. So for a lot of sort of corporate environments,
mm-hmm.
where their deployment means that, hey, they're going to be stuck on the 3.5 or the 2.0 framework for a little bit longer, using 2010, you can actually install the latest version of Visual Studio, write applications that target that, take advantage of the new language features and use those, you know, so that you're
cool.
writing more concise code. And
the new
that.
IDE features, the new whole Visual Studio features.
Exactly.
Cool.
So,
yeah.
So there's advantages even if you're restricted in, you know, your deployment scenario as to what you want to do. And then on that deployment scenario, you can take advantage of those client frameworks.
Right.
Reduce your footprint when you're shipping stuff out.
Very cool.
So,
thanks for explaining this, Spotty. It was I am just kind of like blindly use Visual Studio to guide me through all this stuff, and this opens up a lot of, okay, now I understand what's happening, and I appreciate that. So cool.
It's definitely one of those features that, you know, is just there, and unless you know about it, it's you're probably not going to utilize it as much as you can.
Right. And we'll look forward to your article in MSDN Magazine.
Sounds good.
All right, thanks again.
Thanks so much.